am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is May 5th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic is taken from the website of Anne Barnhart, who writes on the topic, On the Communist Homosexualist Infiltration. She begins, I get several emails per week on average from people telling me that I am either directly or partially responsible for their conversion or reversion to Catholicism. Anne, I've seen pictures of you. You could also be responsible for many men converting to homosexuality. Anne, one word, nose job. No, that wouldn't help much, but it would be a good starting point. Anne said, These emails are at once edifying and terrifying. Every one of those emails that I receive results in a prayer offered up that whatever parish the person or people end up in has a non-Marxist, non-homosexualist priest who actually believes in what the church teaches and believes. Anne, your Bible teaches that slavery is acceptable, provided that you don't kill them when you beat them. It demands capital punishment for working on the Sabbath, disobeying your parents, and being a witch. So let me get this straight. This is the kind of priest you want them to have? Wouldn't they be able to consider themselves lucky if they just happened to find one of the few parishes where their little boys could attend without becoming terrified every time they dropped a Snickers bar? Anne said, One has to rely on prayer in this, because to rely on the odds is too terrible to think about. Good point, Anne. As useless as prayer has been proven to be, it's still better than trusting the odds that the priest you get doesn't have little boy DNA caked inside his fruit of the looms. She said, The church is probably at the lowest point it has ever been because communists set about infiltrating the church in the early 20th century and knew that the fastest, easiest way to destroy the church was to destroy the priesthood and ranks of nuns. Anne, why would your all-powerful God allow that? What evidence do you have that communists tried to infiltrate the Catholic Church? You don't have any, do you? The reason the Catholic Church is at its lowest point ever is for the same reason that all other religions are collapsing. Science has replaced superstition in the modern world. Your God is getting his ass kicked in every nation on earth. It won't be long before even Scientology has a larger membership than you do. She said, Destroy the shepherds and the flock will scatter. Anne, a flock of sheep? I couldn't have described you guys better myself. Anne continues, The methodology and tactics were simple. Specifically recruit homosexuals into the priesthood and ranks of women religious. Okay, Anne, I see what you're doing now. You're going to try to blame someone else for all those priests who can't resist those tight little butts. Anne said, This was accomplished beginning in the late 1950s. And I've noticed that like nearly all Christians, you are grammatically challenged. I know English is a hard language, but at your age, you could at least hire someone to proofread your crap. It doesn't make sense to say, it was accomplished beginning in. You should have written, this began in the late, and then finish. Anne says, with massive inertia gained in the 1960s and forward. Anne, now you're really embarrassing yourself. You need to look up the word inertia. It doesn't mean what you seem to think it means. If you're going to write on the internet where the whole world can read your garbage, you seriously need to consider hiring someone to help you write. She said, coincident with the communist-driven sexual revolution. And now you're just making stuff up. Whatever sexual revolution is occurring is driven by people. All people. Not just communists. Anne said, the effects and damage have been massive and undeniable. Okay, Anne, I'm listening. name one. She writes, within a span of 25 years, the image of the Catholic priest went from Bing Crosby as Father O'Malley and Spencer Tracy as Father Flanagan to the blanket assumption that every Catholic priest was a homosexual. And that's what happens when secrets get exposed and the truth comes out. But I don't know where you got the misconception that anyone thinks that every priest is a homosexual. Anne continues, in the 1980s, it is safe to say that fully half, if not more, of the seminarians ordained to the priesthood were in fact active homosexuals. Anne, you just showed everyone the huge difference in thinking between rational people and ghost worshippers. Rational people require evidence for their claims. For you, you defend your claims with, it is safe to say. Sorry, Anne, but just because you think it is safe to say doesn't make it so. So do you have any evidence for that claim? I didn't think so. She said seminaries turned into de facto bathhouses. For more on this outrage, I recommend the book Goodbye, Good Men by Michael Rose. And it sounds like you and Rose don't accept that homosexuals can be good men. I wonder where you got that idea from. Let me guess, an ancient book of gruesome fairy tales written by nomadic sheep shaggers who claimed that an invisible ghost was telling them what to write down. Is that about right? Now Anne continues. As a child, I was exposed to many ex-nuns who had courageously left the Sisters of Charity who were headquartered in the area and lived as lesbians. These were the kind of women of whom my childish eyes could not immediately discern their gender, and the lesbian angle went over my head completely due to the innocence of youth. They were just strange, ugly, repulsive, and somewhat frightening women to me. Anne, do we need to bring up your pictures again? Here's one that ugly, repulsive, and frightening doesn't even begin to describe. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, there's a picture you absolutely have to see. By the way, Anne, the pink machine gun is so Christian Crusader, so Knights Templar. Anne said, there is no better intuition than the intuition of a child. Anne, let me guess, you know that's true because it's safe to say? She said, oh, but we aren't allowed to talk about things like that. We aren't allowed to acknowledge the fact that women who go out of their way to look and act like men, aka butch, are in any way unattractive or even repulsive. Anne, when the listeners see your picture, they will learn the true meaning of the word butch. And no, Anne, choosing a pink machine gun didn't help. The only thing that would help would be a mask. She said, we have been taught to suppress our attraction to beauty. Anne, in your case, that wasn't necessary. She said, and to embrace things that are intrinsically disordered, ugly, and fundamentally repellent. Anne, if that were true, you would have guys lined up around the block. Just to be clear, Anne, your physical unattractiveness only makes you uninteresting. It's your inner self, as revealed by your own words, that exposes just how incredibly ugly you really are. Now she says, remember the 45 goals of communism that I posted a while back? Let's look at numbers 23 and 26. 23. Control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. 26. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And that list came from a book written over 50 years ago by a ghost worshiper trying to exploit the fear of Russia in order to sell his books. Maybe if you pulled your head out of the Old Testament for a few minutes and actually watched current events, you might have learned that Russia now holds democratic elections and is no longer a communist state. and continues. These two goals are tied together. The promotion of ugliness was not merely limited to the art galleries and new construction architecture. It also applied to the art of the human body in the forms of clothing and hairstyles, specifically in the pushing of androgyny, making women look like men and men look like women. Anne, do I need to bring up your picture again? She said, now it is beyond mere looks. According to Marxists, women must now act like men, and men must act like women. And, according to which Marxists? What's the point of making women act like men when you already have men acting like men? Why make men act like women when you already have women acting like women? And, do you ever think anything out before you write? Obviously not. Anne said, nowhere is this perversion more pronounced than among the priests and nuns in the church today. As a result, the pews are empty, and those that are in the pews are grossly, grossly ignorant of the faith. Anne, those who are in the pews are at least a safe distance away from the priests. She said, what man would want to go to Mass if the priest is a flaming, effete homosexual? And the problem isn't whether or not the priest is a homosexual. The problem is that there are some who are pedophiles. She said, who wants to go to Mass and cringe at the priest's comportment, behavior, and affectations? And ask that question in San Francisco or Hollywood, and you might be surprised just how packed the pews get. And said, who wants to be around nuns who wear their hair in $6 crew cuts, wear men's clothes, carry themselves like men, and are saturated with utter contempt, not just for men, but for the church itself? How is any of that attractive or edifying? It isn't. It is viscerally repellent. And viscerally repellent. I like that one. That would make a good caption when I post your picture on my website. She continues, and that is exactly why the communists recruited homosexuals into the clergy. And Christians are always claiming that communists are atheists. Now you come along and say that they are recruiting for the clergy. Can't you people get your story straight? And said, the priests, whether they are homosexual or merely influenced by the Marxist homosexualist milieu, are actively doing everything they can to drain every last bit of masculinity out of the church. Well, Anne, maybe that's only fair, since the Bible and the Quran did everything they could to drain all femininity out of the church. Now, Anne says, behind them is a truly pathetic wall of lesbian nuns who hate both authentic masculinity and authentic femininity with every fiber of their beings, considering that there are only two genders. And there may be only two genders, but there are millions of people worldwide who possess traits of both genders. Case in point, your picture. Now she said, and that these lesbian nuns hate both of them. This means that these nuns deep down hate humanity itself, as well as the creator of humanity. Hence their pro-abortion and Marxist totalitarian radicalism. And nuns are pro-abortion? You really don't keep up on current events, do you? Anne continues, they view themselves as superior, third gender, destined to take over the church, and eventually society itself, because no man who acts like a man and no woman who acts like a woman is capable or worthy of self-determination in their warped view, and no God who contains in himself both authentic masculinity and authentic femininity. And that was pretty daring of you to call your God androgynous. If I were you, when you get down on your knees tonight to talk to yourself, I mean pray, you might want to consider wearing full body armor. Now Anne said, or who created humanity in that image is worthy of worship. And if we were created in God's image, how come we're not invisible? She said, no, say these foul nuns, All shall love them, meaning the nuns, in all of their perverted hideousness and despair. Anne, you are quite the little nut job, aren't you? She said, these lesbian nuns have, for decades, held the keys to the seminaries. It is lesbian nuns who have populated the vocations boards and who have targeted and recruited homosexual men into seminaries. Anne, I don't get the connection. What interest would lesbians have in gay men? Anne continues, so long as the men in question indicated themselves open to the idea of female ordination to the priesthood, which is impossible and will never ever happen, and so long as these men showed no signs of any interest in genuine Catholicism, they were in without hesitation. Any man who projected genuine masculinity and orthodoxy was rejected. And I would love to see your face when Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, comes looking for you. He would excommunicate you on the spot. Then you would have to start reading the Quran. Either that or find a local Scientology office. Now Anne says, a few straight Orthodox men were able to slip by, hoping to merely tough it out to ordination. Sadly, thousands of good men were driven out of seminaries by the threat of homosexual assault by their classmates and even faculty. The thinly veiled threat was, are you gay? No? Well, you will be. Imagine after hearing that, having to go to sleep every night to the sounds of a gay bathhouse all around you. It would require near superhuman strength to withstand that. And so it has been for decades now. And I don't mean to be harsh, but you have to be the most bizarre woman on the planet. What's even sadder is that there are people who actually follow your website and digest the vomit you spew. Now Anne says, here is the point at which a person's faith is tested by fire. Most Christians today do not worship God. Well, Anne, I guess that means that we're not that different after all. I don't worship your imaginary friend either. She said, they do not worship Christ. Christ is merely a mascot, if that. No, most Christians today worship themselves and the group. People go to super fun rock band church because they like the entertainment and the social experience. Many men only go to church because they are nagged by their wives into it. So most people today absolutely cannot comprehend why an infiltrated clergy is not a reason to leave the church. And I can give you a better reason to leave the church. You get to keep an extra 10% every week. Without any income, churches would shut down faster than your husband does when he sees you drop your 90. Without money, they would no longer be able to build structures where people go to talk to themselves and listen to bad music. Anne said, to them, the church is the people and what the people do, and how much personal pleasure is derived from the people and what they do. Anne, if you ever realized that your ghost was just a figment of your imagination, you might finally see that those Christians are right. And she concludes her essay by saying, it has little to do with God and nothing to do with what God wants. That's right, Anne. I couldn't think of a better synonym for God than nothing. As for what God wants, I think I can answer that one. He wants you to go away and live your life and leave Him alone. As do we all, Anne. And now for the science segment. Today's article, pigeons may hear magnetic fields. Individual neurons in birds' brains can relay crucial information about Earth's magnetic field, possibly providing the animals with an internal GPS. Pigeons' remarkable navigational feats have long been pegged to the birds' ability to sense magnetic fields, but pinning down how they do so has frustrated scientists for years. Individual cells seem to encode information on a magnetic field's direction, intensity, and polarity. These signals come from a part of the inner ear called the lagina. Until recently, the two best candidate sites for the location of birds' magnetic sensors were the eyes and the beak. There is good evidence for a form of magnetic compass in the eye that uses a mechanism linked to light. And many believe that iron deposits found in the beak were also functioning as magnetic sensors. But last year, researchers reported that bird magnetoreception seemed to be linked to the lagina, resurrecting suggestions from earlier research that had generally fallen by the wayside. Researchers restrained 7 homing pigeons and placed them in a dark room. A magnetic field was created to cancel the Earth's field, and the researchers then monitored the birds' brain activity while creating and rotating carefully controlled artificial magnetic fields around the pigeons. They found that vestibular neurons, which are linked to balance systems in the inner ear, fire differentially in response to alterations in the field's direction, intensity, and polarity, and that these cells were especially sensitive to the bandwidth that covers Earth's geomagnetic field. Combining information on direction, intensity, and polarity could provide more than just a compass heading. It could be used to produce positional and directional information because of the way the Earth's field varies in different locations. It could theoretically be used as a GPS unit. Researchers say that it is now vital to do behavioral work to show that the vestibular system is performing magnetoreception. For example, by severing the nerves and then testing birds' ability to sense magnetic fields. Researchers say that now there are 3 potential places where magnetoreceptors may rest. These are the beak, the eyes, and the ears. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, George F. Spencer. I could not determine which George F. Spencer wrote this. So here's the quote from one of the George F. Spencers. Beyond the universe, there is nothing. And within the universe, the supernatural does not and cannot exist. Of all deceivers who have plagued mankind, none are so deeply ruinous to human happiness as those imposters who pretend to lead by a light above nature. Science has never killed or persecuted a single person for doubting or denying its teachings. And most of these teachings have been true. But religion has murdered millions for doubting or denying her dogmas. And most of these dogmas have been false.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.